Yeah. So we were discussing the question of Minag HaMedina and the impact that that has on the standards for privacy in the community. So what we have so far is the following facts. The Mishnah speaks about Minag HaMedina in two very different ways. The Mishnah speaks about Minag HaMedina when it comes to a chatzer in terms of the quality of the remedy. In other words, the Mishnah seems to indicate that how you construct a wall, the materials that you use, the thickness or the dimensions of the wall, all of that depends on Minag HaMedina. That's what the Mishnah says right here, beginning, that Hashutim Shiratza Lasas Mechitza Bechatzer, Bona Kosa Be'emtza, Mokom Shino Golubnos Gvil, Gazis, Kvisin, Levenin, Bonim, Hakol, Keminag HaMedina, Gvil Zenosin Gimel Tvachim, Zenosin Gimel Tvachim, Gazis Zenosin Tvachayim Amachtza, and so on. I'm just reviewing just to get us where we were. So basically what that means is that the focus when it comes to a chatzer, a courtyard, which requires a wall, the Minag HaMedina focus is on the material and on the standards that are required along the way. On the other hand, in the same Mishnah, then the Mishnah goes on and says, V'chi chen begina, makam shenagu ligdor, mechayvin oso, aval bebika makam shenagu shelo ligdor, ein mechayvin oso. We already read the Gemara and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara and Dalet Amud Aleph kind of flips it a little bit. The upshot of the Gemara and Dalet Amud Aleph is that in Agina, the default is that there's a problem of Hezek Re'iyah that requires a wall. But if there's a makam shenagu lo livnos, place where Dafka, the custom is not to build a wall, then we respect that, and that determines. However, in a bika, it's even the default that people don't build a wall unless there is a specific requirement to build a wall. That's the Gemara on Daf Dalid Amud Aleph. I don't need to read it. We read it already. Okay. The against that background, and one other piece of information, two other pieces of information, we have the following controversy. So the other two pieces of information are as follows. The Gemara and Daf Dalet Amud Aleph says that why does the Mishnah say Hakol Keminag HaMedina when it then lists what the standards are, like what you build it with, and so on and so forth. Hakol Keminag HaMedina, right? So Mokum Shinagu and then Hakol Keminag HaMedina. It sounds superfluous. So the Gemara says, Andav Dalud Amun Aleph, Hakol Asuye Mai, Lasuye Asra Dinehigi Behutza Vadafna. Even if the Minag HaMakom is to use materials that are even more insubstantial, that's more, temporary, nonetheless, we respect that Minag too. Okay, the question is twofold. So with regard to the first series of, background, the question of Minag HaMedina, the question is it significant that the Mishnah doesn't have the case of Minag HaMedina, Shenoagu Shelo Livnos Kosel Bechatzer? That's question number one. In other words, can there be a Minag HaMedina that will be prevailing that will say don't build anything when it comes to a chatzer, right? We don't have that case. By virtue of the fact that we have the case in Gina and Bika, now in a chatzer, does that just mean it's very infrequent or very unlikely? Or does it mean that it's illegal? That's the debate between, as we'll see in a moment, Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba. The second piece of evidence the one that I just quoted, is that the Gemara says that the Hakol Keminag HaMedina is repeated in order to teach you that even if the materials used are very insubstantial, that's still Minag HaMedina. Does that imply, is that an example which just says Minag HaMedina trumps all? We never have to do better than Minag HaMedina. Or is that the bottom line? That's the lower limit. What we're saying is, if it's Hutza V'dafna, which is pretty flimsy, that works. Of course, if it's less than Hutza V'dafna, You're not going to go that far. That would be a minig betos. That is point number two in the argument between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rashba. Okay, Rabbeinu Yonah was of the opinion that minag hamedina is koveya even in a chatzer, and if there's a minag not to build a wall, not to remedy a violation of privacy, then so be it. And the Rashba argued for both of these reasons. He said, number one, how come we don't find that in the Mishnah when we find that with regard to Gina and Bika? And number two, it sounds like the Gemara is saying that the bottom, lowest level ever is Hutzav Adafna. But if it's true that there's a Minag HaMedina not to build at all, that we respect that, then what's the Chiddush of Hutzav Adafna? Okay? So those are the two proofs of the Rashba against Rabbeinu Yonah, that there is a qualitative difference between Gina and Bika on the one hand and Chatzar on the other, and you can never have a Minag HaMedina that justifies ignoring an invasion of privacy in a Chatzar. That is the conclusion of the Rashba, and he's arguing against Rabbeinu Yonah in that regard. What does Rabbeinu Yonah argue, you know, about the Hutzav Adafna? I mean, if the Gemara, you know, if the Mokom Shenagu Lonos Klal, you don't have to build anything, then it's not much of a chiddush to say that even Hutzav Adafna is good enough. I mean, Hutzav Adafna solves a problem. It might solve the problem only temporarily. It might solve the problem with a psychological hangover. In other words, you're always worried, you know, that you know, you'll become vulnerable again. But at the end of the day, Hutzav Adafna is never worse than nothing. So why would the Gemara say La Suye Hutzav Adafna? Why wouldn't it say La Suye, right, Makom Shenagu Lo Ligdar? That's one of the questions the Rashba asks against Rabbeinu Yonah. So in response to that question, the Rashba admits that there is an answer. He just doesn't like it. What is the answer? The answer is that maybe a makom shenagu lo ligdor is possible, but when it's a makom shenagu ligdor, there's still an objective minimum standard. In other words, you can have a place, and the idea behind it would be, according to the Rabbeinu Yonah, that the Minag HaMedina can determine that a place is not a privacy place, it's more of a public place. In other words, a chotzer, I'll say it this way, there are other ways to say it, but I think this is the easiest way to say it. A chotzer is a courtyard. And a courtyard is, you know, is not inside your home, right? It's not the most acutely private place. On the other hand, it's certainly not Rishus HaRabim. And in the time of the Talmud, the courtyard, you know, was considered a very important extension of your property. So is it possible that prevailing custom, how society looks at it, will determine whether or not we treat a chatzer as a makom tzanua, a makom prati, a makom ishi, a personal place, or as more of a, you know, even though it doesn't belong to the rabbim, but it's more of a makom farhesya, not a makom tzanua, right? Makom patuach v'galui, not a makom chasuf, not a makom, you know, satum. So this is kind of what the Rashba, if you look at the Rashba here, he kind of quotes this. He says the following. He says, I'm just going to quote, you'll tell me which line it's on, some page two of that group. V'afilu tomar, the shiny hasam, the kivan shemakpidin, right, ein shmirasan bepachos mikain shmira. He's saying, listen, maybe the idea is that if there's a place which is perceived as a private place where people care about their privacy, so then there has to be a certain minimum shmira, then you have certain minimum standards to remedy. If you need a remedy, then the remedy requires certain minimum standards. However, you can have a place which society deems not a private place. Right? Meaning, as long as there's a need for privacy, you could say, listen, I want it to be something which gives me security, right, where I can sleep at night. Or, and financial, you know, it's not a financial nightmare that every single day you're going to be back in court, you know, re-erecting, you know, this barrier because the materials that it's made of are so flimsy, right? That's not worth my time, my energy, and it's not worth the psychological stress of my worrying about it, if indeed we're treating this as a place that requires a remedy, namely as a private venue. But that's still different than saying we've determined that this is a public or a more exposed or a more open place. So that is obviously the idea that Rabbeinu Yonah is pushing. The Rajba's not buying. The Rajba says, Uma bekach, farnogo shelo lahakbid, amasha mazika benefila lebinyan. So the Rajba says, what do you mean? Because you're worried you're going to be there every day. The minagamokom is not to care about that. So the Rajba basically acknowledges this distinction, but refuses to embrace it, is what I'm trying to say. To me, it's a very logical distinction. Either way, in the end of the day, Rabbeinu Yonah has something very powerful on his side. Now, this is an acceptable solution to a problem. But what does he have on his side? What he has on his side, as we discussed previously, is the hierarchy between Gina and Chatzer. And in that, Rabbeinu Yonah argued there's one other piece of evidence. The Gemara in the Beis Amid Beis, when it thought to argue that there was an argument about Hezek, yes, Shema Hezek, Alo Shema Hezek, the Gemara sought to bring a proof from Gina, from the yard, from the garden. And the Gemara said, no, everybody agrees in Gina that you need a wall. Meaning that a Gina, and the way that the Rabbeinu Yonah understood that Gemara, and actually the Rajba happens to agree, even though we saw 2 weeks ago that the Rambam disagrees, Rabbeinu Gershom disagrees, the Yad Ramah disagree, they have different ways of getting out of this problem. But the Rajba agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah that what the Gemara was saying was, even if Hezek Yelo Shema Hezek in a Chatzer, Hezek Yelo Shema Hezek in a Gina. Oh, so if a Gina is worse, or it's more obvious that you have to protect someone in a Gina more than a Chatzer, how could it be that a Mokom Shinogu Lo Ligdar, that a place where the Minog is not to have any protection, that's acceptable in Gina, but it's not acceptable in Chatzer, when Gina is worse than Chatzer? That is the argument of Rabbeinu Yonah. And the Rajba's response to that, I think, as I mentioned last time, what he says is clear. He says, V'lo amr b'gemara, this is, I'm going back a few lines, degina chamira el l'man damar hezek re'elo shmei hezek. Av l'man damar shmei hezek v'adai chatzer chamur tvei. So that is fascinating. What he says is that the idea that Gina is more acute and a bigger problem than Chatzer, that's only when the Gemara thought that Hezek Re'iyah in a Chatzer lo Shema Hezek. So they thought it could be lo Shema Hezek and it's still Shema Hezek in a Gina. But once they know that it's Shema Hezek in both, in a Gina and in Chatzer, then Chatzer catapults over Gina and becomes worse. So the question is, what is that? That's what I was trying to explain the last time we spoke. And I just want to get back to that for a minute, because that leads into the Tshuvas HaRajba, which I touched on, but which is really, really so crucial. So I think what the Rajba has in mind is as follows. Again, when when we find an argument like this, you know, whether there's Hezek Re'iyah, Shema Hezek or Lo Shema Hezek in a Chatzer. So there are really two ways to look at that argument. One way is, to everybody understands what Hezek Re'iyah is and, you know, what its nature and what the problem is. And, you know, the controversy is about, you know, does it extend to a Chatzer, right? And if it's more obvious that it extends to a Gina than that it extends to a Chatzer, then there's a hierarchy. And what we're saying is the Hezek Re'iyah issue is worse in Gina than a Chatzar, then the question is, does Chatzar also have a problem? But if it does, there's no reason to catapult Chatzar over Gina, because we understood with our, we had our eyes wide open. You know, we're talking about Hezekiah, but we had our eyes wide open, right? We understood what the issue of Hezekiah was. It's some sort of a, you know, privacy damage, right? Damage by violating privacy. And what we're saying is, you know, that it's worse here than there, because here there are crops, there's financial, you know, the other guy's financial business and so on. However, there's another possibility. And it's not only here, it's in other, you know, parallel kind of examples as well. And that is that Hezekiah status in Chatzer is really not only about Chatzer. It's really about the nature of what Hezekiah really is. And this becomes crucial. In other words, and this is what I was kept saying about, you know, it's interesting that the argument ends up being about Chatzer. There's so many other Gemaras about Hezekiah, they're not arguing about them. And we'll see in a moment, the Shackle of Time based on base. I want to finish that off today so we can move on to Gimel and Aleph. But the idea is as follows. What the Gemara was saying was Hezekiah and Chatzer is like a test case. It's going to determine what the problem of invasion of privacy is. Is it really like an economic problem? Right? Or is it a quality of life problem? Is it about crops and values and ayin ra'a mostly? Or maybe it's also about that, but it's really primarily about the right every individual has as a tzelem Elokim and as a member of Klal Yisrael, right, to a personal identity. That's like a really important idea. It's more about the tznusa than it is about the ayin ra. So the Gemara says, you know what? That gufa is the argument of Hezekiah, Shema Hezek, Lo Shema Hezek. And what that's going to, and then from the, because from the perspective of Dine Mamanus, knowing his balance sheet and his crops and all of that, from a Mamanus point of view, is more tangible and concrete and more problematic than, you know, just the fact that you can see into his property and see him and he doesn't have privacy. But from a Kedushas Yisrael point of view, of course, you know, his personal space is far more noble and requiring of protection, you know, than his, you know, business venture with the crops in the field. So what the Gemara is really arguing, again, the Rambam doesn't say all this. He doesn't say more than what I just told you, he says. Although we'll see in a moment that the tshuva backs it up. What he really says is, there is a hierarchy. If you hold Hezekiah lo Shema Hezek, then Gina's worse. But if you hold Hezekiah Shema Hezek, then Chatzar's worse. Why? The answer is, because if Hezekiah extends to Chatzar, what that really means is that we're not putting the Dagesh Chazak on the crops and the money. What we really are saying is, in the end of the day, Kedushas Yisrael requires that you give a person space and privacy and respect. And once we're saying that, then like the Rambam said in his tshuva, of course the Hezekiah of people is much more of a problem, much more acute than the Hezekiah of financial consequences. Says the Rajba, if that's the case, then once we paskin Hezekiah Shema Hezek and a Chatzer, the Chatz is worse than the Gina, and just because the Gina, b'makom shenagu lo ligdor, you know, doesn't need a remedy, but of course you still need a remedy when it comes to the personal violation of privacy, because that's not something that society can be entrusted with to determine yes or no. That's something that the Torah itself demands from us. So in light of that, we should now look at the Tshuva Sarajba, which is the next one, which I started to talk about. And you'll see he has this fantastic formulation. So again, the Tshuva Sarajba, you can do the second entry here. I don't know what line that is. Is it still on page 2? The part of Chen Lemeidim Mimina Gamadina?
31.
So page 2, line 31.
Yeah.
Says the Rajba here is discussing the first part, which I skipped, but I mentioned it like a couple of weeks ago, is that the Rajba is dealing with the tshuva on a very broad topic. So broad that he says it's too broad. They asked him, in halacha, when halacha has standards, when do we care about minhaga medina? When yes, when no. Seems like in certain areas of halacha we care, in other areas we don't. Obviously, I mean, we're dealing with a divine and independent system, which has its own value system and its own obligations and norms. So you don't always go by minhaga medina. On the other hand, we do live in the world, and, you know, minhaga medina, you know, as a sensibility is sometimes something that we're required to be sensitive to. Moreover, sometimes minhaga medina defines or impacts, you know, the way that we even halachically view, you know, certain issues. Like if something is, you know, lekula lechumra, something is accepted in society, in some cases, you know, that matters a lot. And if something is not accepted, usually it matters even more, frankly. But, right, so when minhaga medina, yes, when minhaga medina, no. So the Rajba said, listen, I can't answer that question, because it depends what you're talking about. Are you talking about Choshev Mishpat, right? So are you talking about Yoredeya? Are you talking about Hilchos Brachos? What are you talking about here? The devil is in the details. That's the first part. Then he says, oh, why don't we talk about a few cases? So one of the cases he talks about is our case, because you have the Mishnah, which speaks about minhaga medina. So he says, v'chein lemeidem in minhaga medina, afa pisho lo hiskimu alav. Another example where minhaga medina matters, even if it's against the initial standards of the halacha, is the following. Right? So our Mishnah says that when it comes to the standards, what material are you going to use? How thick is the wall going to be? Everything is minhaga medina. Those are details, of course, and they also make sense that that should depend on minhaga medina, because the expectations of what's considered a sturdy, acceptable, you know, remedy wall, you know, that should depend on the codes, you know, the building codes of the community is very reasonable, obviously. Oh. So, and then the Rajba says, Upirshu Hakol, and the Gemara Dalet Amud Aleph says that the word Hakol repeated is lasuye chutz of a dafna, even if it's a flimsier material. However, then he adds, umikol makom, however, im nogu shelo lahakpid klal al hezek re'iya shel abatim b'chatzeros, let's say the minhag is not to care at all, not to build a wall, just forget about it. Now, you don't need a remedy. Now, of course, we know, and this is what's so telling, you know, when you learn a topic and you know the background, you know, so then, you know, it all becomes so, meaningful, you know, it just, so visceral, right? So now we know what's going on here. We know is that Rabbeinu Yonah, who was a powerful, powerful influence in the thinking of the Rajba in general, he saw him as a Rebbe, said that if the minhag medina is not to have a wall in a chatzer, then we respect that. And we know the Rajba and the Chidushim says, absolutely not. That is totally incorrect. As much as he was a student of Rabbeinu Yonah, he was violently opposed to that conclusion. So now he's bringing that in here, but listen, but he expands it. That far, we will not go. Building materials, thickness of the wall, great. And in a gina and a bika, yes or no, also good. But not in a bias and not in a chatzer. She'ein mechila or mechilas ha'akpada elebemamenes. Now here's where he explains it, right? He says when it comes to minhaga medina and what people care about and what their norms are, when it comes to dine mamenes, dollars and cents, that really matters a lot. She'adam rashoi, if I want to give away my money, or I want to let somebody damage my property, I can do that. It's only dollars and cents. I own my money, I own my property, and if I want to, may not be wise, right? But if I want to, be liberal in other people's usage or destruction of it, that's my decision. Aval, and this is the key words, this is an original formulation of the Rashba. Aval eina rashai lifrok gedaron shel Yisrael. What you're not allowed to do is undermine the standards of Klal Yisrael in Kedusha, in sanctity, in personal dignity. Because that's not your call. And when you are mochel that for yourself, right, what you're really doing is you're undercutting Klal Yisrael's commitment to that concept. This is why it's such a powerful line. V'shalolinog b'tznius, but you're going to decide not to be makbid on your privacy. U'begorem li'estalek shchina mili'yisraelu. Because what you're doing doesn't just affect you. This is your idea. It's not momentous. And it ends up undermining not you, but the standards of Klal Yisrael. It's none, and that's when he quotes the Gemara in Daf Samech Amud Aleph, Lo yiftach adam chalonot of l'chatzar ha-shutfin. The person shouldn't open his windows to chatzar ha-shutfin. We got seen in the Gemara Minani Mili, how do you know this? And the Gemara says on Samech Amud Aleph, from Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Krova, Yisab Bilam Eseina, Vayaris Yisrael Shokein L'shvatav. Bilam, right, opened his eyes, raised his eyes. By the way, whenever the Torah uses the expression, Vayisa Eseina, typically means not physically that he raised his eyes, but that, he came upon an insight, like, he had an illumination, an epiphany. So that's what this was. Vayisa Bilam Eseinav, he had an epiphany. Vayaris Yisrael Shochem L'Shvata. So the Gemara says, Mara, this is the Gemara Tanakh, we've seen it already. What do you see? Ra'a She'ein Piskein M'chubanim Zelazah. Amar, he said, Re'uyin Eilu Shatishra Aleim Shechina. Beinehem. Klal Yisrael, now I understand why they are the recipients of the Ribbono Shel Olam special Hashkacha, why they're the ones who are deserving to receive the Torah. They are the ones who are Re'uyim, right, Shatishra Aleim Hashchina. So, wow, just a little bit of architectural, wisdom. The answer is no, it's not just architectural, obviously. This goes to the heart of, who and what Klal Yisrael is. The Gemara says in Makos and Daf Chav Daled that, Hatzniah Lechas and Hashem Elokecha might have been, according to Micha, is one of the three, principles, core principles, of Judaism, of life. Osa Chesed, Asos Mishpat, Hatzniah Lechas and Hashem Elokecha. So that's in the continuation what he says. V'zeu she'omer b'gemara hakol, lasuye mai lasuye hutza v'dafna. He's repeating now what he said in the Chidushim. The Gemara says, a flimsy wall works, but lo amr lasuye kolelu, right? A situation where, kolmili rather, b'afilu pachas mihutza v'dafna, not only do you need a wall, but you need a wall that isn't less than hutza v'dafna, because anything less than hutza v'dafna is undercuts the principle of Gedaron Shel Yisrael, what gives Klal Yisrael its identity and definition, no less. That's just a remarkable formulation. The Alma ad Hutza V'dafna Tali B'minhaga, right? Up to the point of Hutza V'dafna, you're still within the range of Gedaron Shel Yisrael and Ru'uyim Shetishra Le'em Ashkina. And therefore, that's also the range of minhaga. Like if the minhag goes that low, that's still okay. Avapachas mikan minhag betosu ve'ino minhag. What do you mean minhag betos? That's just what people, are doing. The answer is it cuts in too much to a core principle of Yadus. So what, we don't care what people are doing. We don't care about the standards when the standards of society erode the foundations that define Kedushas Yisrael, at that point, you know, they become irrelevant or worse. You know, that signifies a kind of cultural, battle that it becomes necessary to win. That's essentially what the Rajba is saying here. B'chein pirush Rabbeinu Tam, about the less than Hutzav Adafna. Umimena atalameh, from there you can derive, l'makom shenoga sholah hakbid klal sheno minag, that let's say they don't build a wall at all. That's the minag amakom, right? The kol shekein. Then, of course, if you can't get away with less than Hutzav Adafna because that's a substandard, you know, remedy that cuts into Gedaron Shel Yisrael and Ru'im Shetach Chishraleya Mashchina, then Kol Shekein to say, oh, in our place, everything is transparent. You know, but transparent again in a negative way, not in a positive way. Right? Transparency in, you know, Ve'yisam Nikiyim is a good thing. Right? You should be transparent, you know, when you're dealing with public funds. Transparent doesn't mean that everything you do should be public fair. Again, you know, sounds a little strange because the culture right now, Minagamako right now, is very much against this. But this is a core principle in Yahadus, and the Rajba is saying it's Gedaron Shel Yisrael. But Koshkein Gino Bika, right? She Talo Osam B'Mishnaseinu B'Minag Mamonu. He says, why Gina Bika, there can be a Minag HaMakom not to build. How come that isn't a violation of Kedushas Yisrael and Gedaron Shel Yisrael? Why isn't that Porek Me'aleim, you know, V'Goreim Shechina Shetistalek? He says, no, that's a different kind of Hezek Re'iyah. It's still in the rubric of Hezek Re'iyah, but that's Mishum Ayin Ara, She'asur, the Omid Al Sada Chaver B'Shal She'omedes B'Komo Seha, in the end of the day, however that works, it's about Dine Mamanus. Now, there has to be an overlap, otherwise, what the Rajba was saying, he would have said it differently. Meaning, because there's a concept of Tznios, it even has impact on Dine Mamanus in some way. That's obviously the idea. But since the effect is with regard to financial well-being, it is still malleable, still flexible. You can still be mochel. However, when it comes to, you know, personal matters, and we're not only speaking, we'll see in a moment, probably, you know, about the most private, you know, kind of conduct and behavior. Some of them think that that's what we're talking about when we talk about hezekri and a bias and a chatzer. But the simple pshat is that, no, it just means that you have to have privacy, you know, even if it's not behavior or conduct that per se, you know, mandates it. Or it's the potential for private, you know, conduct, you know, that dictates. So that is the Rajva. And then he says, V'efshar lomar d'hainu nami ahuditanu ahudina d'bemokom shenogu mokom shelonogu gabi gino bika. Is that's the reason why the Mishnah is very meduyak. And when it comes to Chatzer, it speaks about Minag HaMedina in terms of the material, in terms of the dimensions of the wall, but it doesn't mention anything about Mokum Shenogu L'Ligdar. L'manda Amar, B'lo Tznan L'Alayu, Minayu B'Chatzer HaShutfim, L'manda Amar has a Griya, Shmei has it. The car of Ani Lomar, Shafila Mochola Beferish, Lo Yoil, Sheyucha Lomalo, Savar Hayisi Lakabel, Veidi Yachal. So now, this is a very important line in this tshuva. Because we were discussing two topics and the relationship between them, right, is clear, meaning that they're connected. But at the same time, you know, there's also the possibility to distinguish them, right? And, you know, until last week when we started talking about this Minhag HaMedina, 2 weeks ago, by the way, when we talk about Minhag HaMedina, we were talking about the question of chazaka. Like, what happens if I, open up a window into your property and you don't say anything? Right? Does that confer a right to keep the status quo like that or not? That's a question of Cheskas Nezakin. And we encountered the famous debate between them. Tshuvas HaRif says there's no such thing as Chazaka or Mechila when it comes to Hezek Re'iyah, just other Nezakin. It's like Kutro Be'Zakisei or worse. It's like the toxic waste up. And other Rishonim said, no, there's a difference between the Ryan Green Magash, so there's a difference between opening a window into somebody's Chatzer, that's different than two chatzeros that are adjacent to each other that require a wall and you ignore that requirement. And he gave three different explanations. And there are still other Rishonim who say that even in the case of the chatzer, there is chazaka and mechila. Because they say, like, their argument probably is, there's a view that says hezek re'iyah, lo shma hezek, in a chatzer. So even if it is shma hezek, it's not the worst hezek, is it? Again, in light of my suggestion for the Rajba, we can understand what he's coming from. So what is the relationship between two different questions? One, in a personal relationship between two individuals, can you build a chazaka that gives you the right to invade his privacy? That's called cheskas nizakin in hezekriya. That's question number one, and we know there's a big argument about that. The Tshuvas HaRif and the Ramban against the Rimigash, and there's a Rambam, and there's, and so on and so forth. And now there's another argument between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, and that is, forget about personal interaction between two parties. What about the Minhag HaMedina that says, in our community, in our gated community, or in our city, or in our country, right, we don't require a barrier between chatzeros. That's not about Reuven and Shimon. It's about the community. Now, of course, these two questions are parallel questions. In both cases, there seems to be a basis like to be mochel. And the more you consider hezek re'iyah to be just like money or nezek or some extraneous right, I would say in both cases, why not? On the other hand, if you want to be like the Rajba, if you want to say it's not just the Rajba, also language in the Rama, and a little bit in the Rimigash, and a lot of the Rif and the Ramban, right? If you want to say, oh, this is like personal assault, this is like an intolerable violation of quality of life. If you want to go further, like the Rajba, and say this is Porek Gedaron Shel Yisrael, right? Gorem Sheyistalek Hashchina. Wow. If you want to say that, then you're not likely, to be soft either on Minhag HaMedina or on personal, chazaka to allow Hezek Re'iyah. So what's curious is Rabbeinu Yonah, as we know, is tremendously makel on Minhag HaMedina. What's his view on chazaka in Hezek Re'iyah? So it would really be terrific if we could find that out. All I've been able to find out is the following. He doesn't discuss it so much. He quotes the Rimigash. A lot of people quote the Rimigash. Probably may quote him approvingly. The Rimigash has a middle shita. He says that there is chazaka lehezek re'iyah in a chalon, in a window, and there's no chazaka lehezek re'iyah. It's like kutra besakise. It's like a toxic waste dump when it comes to a chatzer. But the Rabbeinu doesn't endorse it. He just quotes it. But what's really interesting is that the tour quotes Rabbeinu Yonah as seemingly, at least the way the Bach understood it, as being like the Tshuvas HaRif, as going further than the Rimigash, as being a hardliner when it comes to chazaka, which means that when it comes to Minhag HaMedina, Rabbeinu Yonah is very flexible and very liberal. I don't mean, you know, I'm using his phrases, but, you know, meaning he's, if the Minhag HaMedina is you don't need a wall, so you don't need a wall. And yet when the, in the interpersonal connection between the parties in a Mokom Shenagu Ligdor, the community does have the value of privacy. But these two guys, they want to drop it between them. According to the box reading of the tour, it's reading of Rabbeinu Yonah, right? The answer is no, under no conditions. And the Rajba, in a way, is on the opposite side. The Rajba won't even hear of Rabbeinu Yonah's kula when it comes to Makom Shenagu. But when it comes to personal chazaka, that's what he speaks of in these last few words. He says, the karavani lomar, that's why it's so fascinating that he concludes like every word in this Chuvas HaRajba is just amazing. So the karavani lomar, he says, I'm, you know, inclined to say, shafila mochel bo beferush, in the interpersonal connection, even if the guy says explicitly, right, I'm not makbid, lo yoil, it won't help him long term. She yuchalomar lo, the guy can say to him, savor hayisi lekabel ben yachal. The other guy can say to him, you know what, I thought I could live like this, but, you know, objectively, since it's such a, you know, core breach in quality of life, that he can turn around and he can claim toes. Like the language of the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, where the Rambam says in Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, if it's bilti nizbal. The language is just powerful. You know, it's just insufferable, intolerable. Right? So the Rajba says, I'm inclined to saying to go with the Rambam, maybe even with the Tshuvas HaRif. Sovar Yisrael Kabel V'Niyachal. Ukakutro Beis HaKise Daini. It's like the toxic waste dump, the Yoser, right? And even worse, right? Kfar Lizbol Mehem. V'yeshli Almash Esmok B'Sfar Azumina Yerushalmi. He says, and there's a lot to, you know, to rely on in terms of Makoros, to really hold this way. Elish ein zem makom arichos. He said, I don't want to get in too much. Now, if you look at the Rajba, Nuntes, and whatever, he's inclined to go with the Ramban to back the Tshuvas HaRif, although he's not 100%. So what's interesting is, if you compare Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rajba, phenomenologically, right, you know, what ends up being is, Rabbeinu Yonah is mekel in Mokom Shenagu in community standards, but maybe is very machmir when it comes to the personal interaction of the parties. If that's really a pshat in Rabbeinu Yonah quoted by the tour, which is the Bach's view, not sure. And the Rajba, you know, is inclined to connect the two topics together, but he's adamant that Mokom Shenagu doesn't make a dent in anything. But maybe personal mechila, his conviction is not as strong. Okay. Anyway, that finishes up that part of the topic, but I think it's really a very important theme. Any questions before we move on? Or we're good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Rabbi Rosenzweig, what about if you sell your rights? According to the Rashba, let's say you get money and you relinquish your right to have a co-sell. You say, I'm willing to sell it. Is that binding? Is that an enforceable agreement?
You mean for money, I won't demand a wall?
Yes.
That's a great, I'm not really sure about that. I'm not familiar with that case. My guess is that according to the Tshuvas HaRif and the Ramban, who speak about, you know, who are the machmirim, let's say, when it comes to, you know, the interpersonal part, I think at the end of the day, they would always be able to say, and maybe the Rambam as well, at least for a chatzer, you'd always be able to say that was a toes. And you'd have to give back the money. I think in the end of the day, you'd always be able to say, I thought I could, suffer or stomach, incessant assault on my sensibility, but I can't. So it's a minig batalos. Just like, you do have this question in Kutra Beis Akisa itself. Now the Rambam Shita is if you make a kinyan, that will work. The Rajba, actually, the Ramban holds that like the Rambam in that, and Daf Chav Gimel. And actually, the Rajba is the Machmir on that. Rajba says, he's pretty sure that Kinyan Sudar isn't going to work either. So maybe it depends on that argument. What's particularly fascinating, though, is that, again, this is something we've talked about a lot also, and that is, there are patterns in the thinking of Rishonim, obviously, in these issues. Obviously with the Ramban and the Rajbar saying about this topic as opposed to others, is very distinctive, in terms of what they think the stakes are and how much of a core principle this is and that it's really about spirituality and not just about dollars and cents and so on. And yet, despite the patterns and despite the consistency, which we do find both in language and even in positions, there's no predictability in these topics. Like if you take the Ramban, the Rajba would say, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rambam, on like four or five of these issues, you can see the patterns in the way they're speaking and even in what the Psakim, but there are also things that are outside of the patterns. So the Rajba is the biggest machmir in saying a kinyan sudar, kinyan is not going to help you. Okay? The Ramban is much more machmir in saying, mechila will never help you. Whereas for the Rajba, he's inclined, he says karavani lomar, but it's not, not vadai. Okay? Rabbeinu Yonah might be more machmir than the Rajba in that, and yet when it comes to Makom Shenogu, it's exactly the opposite. So it's an interesting. So I think the answer to your question is that for the Rajba that wouldn't work. It would be like Kutra Beis Akisa. For others, it would work if it was a kinyan sudar. I don't think it would work if it was just a payment, because I think you could say it's a minig batos. I'm sorry, kinyan batos. But I think it is an argument about that. But I think it's also a great example of each issue requires. Its own analysis in terms of evidence and also in terms of just assessing like the different factors involved. Like some Rishonim think if you make a kinyan suitor, it's like, you're creating a bubble. You're creating your own, Choshe Mishpat or your own little world. And others say, no, it's got to comply with, accessible, standards. So that, I think, is the answer to your question. Right? Good. So let's move on to the next part of the Gemara quickly, and then we'll try to get to Gimel and Aleph today. But if not, the next time. So let's, time is running out a little bit. So let me, The Gemara, after it discusses Gina, which we discuss so much, says, tries to bring a proof from other things that Hezek Riyashma Hezek. So this is the Gemara here. Tashma. Kosel Chatzer Shenafal. Everybody have that? On base, on base. Kosel Chatzer Shenafal Mechaivinos Olivnos Adalad Amos. You have a Kosel Chatzer Shenafal. I mean, you had a Chatzer. It had a wall. And the wall fell down. So the halach is Mechaivinos Olivnos Adalad Amos. You have to build it up for Amos, so the remedy will work, right? Let's say the whole wall didn't fall. Let's say, got breached, and now it's no longer four Amos, right? So you have to build it up to four Amos. So says the Gemara, how could that be if Hezek Re'elosh Mahezek, right? So this is a very interesting issue. I'm not going to go into detail with this, so there's much more to say. So but the Gemara's answer, the question is a good question. If Hezek Re'elosh Mahezek and a Chatzer, so why do you need to build up the wall when it falls down back to four Amos? But the Gemara's answer is Nafal Shaini. If you had a wall and it fell, that's different, right, than the obligation to build the wall to begin with. If two people just disband their partnership, then maybe there's no obligation for them to build a wall. But if there's a wall already and it falls or is breached, then nafal shayni. And then the Gemara says, udekarile, my karile. Of course, nafal shayni. Not so sure. It is so obvious that nafal shayni. Says the Gemara, sefer tzrichale. Midalad amos ulamala, ein mechayv noso. Let's say you had a wall that was 6 amos high. And then it fell. Do you have to build it back up to 6 amos or only back up to 4 amos? Right? So this is an interesting question. What do we mean when we say nafal shiny? Why? Why is nafal shiny? Right? So Tosis here says, nafal shiny. Shehurgalu lasos davar hatsnea b'chatzer, v'lalomdu lizar ze mizeh. Tosa says, listen, the question of Hezek Re'iyah, this is a very interesting Tosa, you know, is not necessarily a purely objective, normative question. Like, what are the standards of privacy supposed to be, you know, between two people? Right? There's another factor, and that is, you know, people's actual experience and expectation. The Tosa says that if you, even if Hezek Rioshma Hezek, but there is a wall and people are used to privacy, then there's an obligation to rebuild the wall because now it becomes a Mokum Tanua. If Tosa is correct, right, and that's a popular view in the Rishonim. So then you can understand a little bit what the Gemara says, which is, let's say the wall was 6 amos high. Do you have to build it back up to 6 amos? That's what it was. So the answer is no. I mean, because if the Mechayev, the reason you have to build the wall is that even though Hezek Rioshma Hezek, at this point in the Gemara, we don't pass it that way. But nonetheless, once your own experience is that this has been walled off, right, and it's isolated and it's, you know, it's a private place, you know, so that dictates. But you don't need more than Dalet Amos, because more than Dalet Amos is not necessary for privacy, right? The only problem with Tosa's pshat is the assumption itself. And that is what the halacha thinks, that, you know, that these issues are all like default, you know, but if there's like a history of privacy, then that really is mechayev you. Ad kedei kach that the Gemara says, de korele by korele, the Gemara says, like, you know, like, what were you thinking? Of course nafal shiny. Of course nafal shiny. It's so obvious that just because there is privacy, therefore treated as a private place, you know, even going forward, even though the objective venue is a courtyard, which doesn't require it. Not so obvious. Anyway, but in a way, Tosis's Nafal Shaini is, in a way, the parallel opposite of the Rabbeinu Yonah's Mokum Shenoagu. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah was saying, listen, privacy is very important. But if the community, you know, doesn't demand privacy from its chatzeros, and the minig is just to leave it open, so, you know, you adjust to the realities of community life. We were trying to explain against the Rajba for Rabbeinu Yonah that, oh, it's a chatzer. You know, maybe the halacha's default view is that it should be treated as a private place. But if the community perceives it differently, you know, and there's a certain ambiguity relative to like an inside, you know, the home property, Right. So then Makom Shino, good matters. So how people have been, you know, the expectation is that you know, in this society, you know, that people are going to protect themselves in terms of their privacy because it's not a enclosed place. So Tosas is saying the opposite. Tosas is saying, even if you hold Hezek Ria, right, Loshma, Hezek, for a Chatzer, and therefore there's no obligation to build a wall, but if there was a wall and people became accustomed, therefore, to treating the property as a private venue, right, then that determines. Of course, that's the Chumra. The Rabbeinu Yonah case is Lekula. Okay, but of course, there is another way to read the Gemara. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Nafal Shaini, Shekvar Nisratzu Harishonim Bakoso. Because they already agreed to build this wall. Meaning what? That it has nothing to do with privacy? It's an economic obligation. Is that what Rashi means? That's how some people take it. If you look at Rabbeinu Gershom also, it's a little more explicit. Rabbeinu Gershom says, one second. Umishani hechad nafal shiny. This is Rabbeinu Gershom on the side. Hoil to have a mikara hakosel. Since originally there was a wall, bedinu demechayvin also adalad amos. The pachas mekain lo matzi lemivne. The hachi shma mechitza. Alagami mesnisin shalahayim meolam mechitza in mechayvin also. In Mechaivin, rather, Hamakev. Oh. So this is the problem. If the reason that there is an obligation to rebuild a wall is not because of Hezek Ria or privacy, but because there was a wall and they agreed to build it, so there are two problems. Number one, two people decided to build a wall. That means in perpetuity, they agree that there will be a wall between them. Or it means that they put out money and they agreed to build a wall. Right? That's question number one. And this is all discussed by the Rishonim. This is not going to get into it because it'll take too long. We want to move on. The Tosa Rush and the Shittim Gobetzes. Two people build a wall implicitly. That means that forever they implicitly commit to a barrier between them and to replacing it. Moreover, if it has nothing to do with privacy, then why wouldn't you have to build up the wall according to its previous height? They built a six amma wall. Argamar says, yeah, but they only have to build it up to four. They only have to rebuild it to four. If this is about privacy and the fact that once you become accustomed to a certain standard, you know, then that becomes a private place. So we understand why you have to rebuild it, and we understand why you only have to rebuild it for amos. But if it's more like an economic, mutual commitment or obligation, right, then A, it's questionable that it transcends the initial, you know, brick and mortar wall. Who says that they committed that, you know, they forever will be, you know, separated by a wall? And if they did, if it is that kind of a commitment, then why doesn't the original dimensions of the wall continue to apply? So there are some Rishonim who say that even Rashi, maybe this is the Pshat in Rabbeinu Gershom. Rabbeinu Gershom very interestingly says, oh, you have to build it back to four amos, because four amos is the definition of a wall. As opposed to what? Building less. Or building more. Building more because that was there previously. Building less because you just committed to a wall. Right? And think about what Rabbeinu Gershom actually says. What does he say? Because the hagdara of a wall, a mechitza, is dalet amos. Is that true? in the world of halacha, wall is dalan amos? Actually, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, last time we met, because we're talking about the Rambam and the Tshuva, about gina. The Rambam says that a gina, an orchard, requires a 10 tvachim wall. And the Ravid and the Chachmil O'Neil and everybody else, they were like, where did he get that from? Like, you know, we're talking about Hezek Re'iyah. Right, that's only if you know if somebody is 4 feet tall. But the truth is, in this context, that if the opposite is really true, namely, what is the definition, taking Rabbeinu Gershom, what's the definition of a wall in the halacha, typically? Not Dalet Amos. Dalet Amos is a mako. You know, a space, a venue. And Dalet Amos in a wall is about Hezek Re'iyah. But the definition of a mechitza generally in Hilchos Shabbos, what's a wall in Hilchos Shabbos? A mechitza? Ten tvachim. And what's a wall in Hilchos Kelayim? Ten tvachim. And a dofen in Hilchos Sukkah? Right? So 10 tvachim is a typical, so what's he talking about, Rabbeinu Gershom? The answer is, seems to be, that even everybody agrees that the reason that they would, the significance of having a wall in a chotzer, even if Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shema Hezek, is for privacy. Just that it's not obligatory. So what Rashi's saying is, and Rabbeinu Gershom is saying, is that there's a monetary obligation, but that monetary obligation is fueled by the impact and the quality of life that it brings. So it's not a chiyuv in Hilchos Shechinim, it's a chiyuv, let's say, in Hilchos Mamon, but the Mamon here is defined by the Hilchos Shechinim. That's what Rabbeinu Gershom undoubtedly means. What he's saying is, the significance of a wall in a chotzer is always Dalet Amos. So it's not six Amos, because six Amos is just two Amos higher than Dan. It's just, you know, a higher, it's Dalet Amos plus, we call it. And it's also not ten tvachim, because that doesn't do anything in a chatzer. What's the point of it? Unless it's nitfas kagana, but right. Assuming that the purpose of the wall is to give you the added preference or benefit, even if it isn't obligatory, of privacy. So what we have is like almost like a monetary or a shechinim obligation, but not as privacy is the chalos, it's the way that we apply, right, this monetary commitment. So that's what the Gemara says, the korele my korele, according to, they're saying like this. Obviously, if you had a wall, meaning the commitment to build the wall wasn't brick and mortar. It was that in our chatzah, we're going to have different kind of standards. We're going to have privacy. That doesn't make the makom. Tosa says that makes the makom now because you're accustomed to it. So you're going to do tsanua things. That makes it now a makom tsanua. That's a chiddush of Tosas. That's Tosas read of the Gemara. Rashi and Rabbeinu Gershom and others didn't read it that way. They felt you can't. There's still a difference between Hezek Re'iyah Shema Hezek or Lo Shema Hezek, or a bias and a chatzah, or a gina and a chatzah. But nafal shiny, you know, if you choose to make that commitment, then you made it. Then how do we know whether it's a one-time brick and mortar commitment, or a six amos commitment, or a three amos commitment? The answer is, it's what makes sense. You know what's meaningful. You know, from a monetary neighborly point of view. So if you made six amos, you made four amos plus. Right? So you can't build it. you don't have to build it back up six amos, but it wasn't the brick and mortar either. It was, you know what? We're going to commit ourselves to an extra standard here. So it's not, the mechayiv isn't snios, the mechayiv is mamon, it's chayvus. But the chalos of this is chayvus is defined by hilchos snios, hilchos hazagriya. And therefore, the Gemara is perfect, because the Gemara says, to korele bar korele, you mean, of course, enough al shiny, I mean, they agreed. So the Gemara says, yeah, but, you know, it's not so obvious, if it's based on their agreement, that they wouldn't have to replicate the original agreed upon wall. So what we're telling you is, the chiddush is to tell you that it all gets plugged in to privacy measures in terms of the dimensions. Ari, go ahead.
So then why would Dalet Amos be the demarcation point according to the Gemara? It becomes arbitrary. It could have been three Amos. That could have been
No, what I'm saying is, what's significant about the wall in all respects is privacy.
Why
even
is
if Dalet
it's a privacy?
Oh, no, because that the Gemara says on Vav Amud Beis, that is the height that, you know, for typical sized people, so we're plugging that in. What I'm saying is, it's funny that Rabbeinu Gershom says it's Dalet Amos, as opposed to Gimel Amos and opposed to Vav Amos. He says, because that's what a mechitza means. Okay. But when he's, it's a little misleading, because that's not what a mechitza means in Hilchos Kelayim or Hilchos Shabbos or Hilchos Sukkah or Hilchos Tumas Oalim. It means that mere means 10 tefachim. But I think what he means is, here in a chatzer, when you committed to a wall, it's true that it's not that you committed, the mechayiv is not hilchos tznius now. The mechayiv is the monetary commitment. But the monetary commitment is defined by hilchos tznius.
Right? Okay.
So what seems to be like a very big argument ends up being a conceptually big argument, but there's a lot of overlap between the two shitos because, you know, in the end of the day, you know, there's no objective requirement to neutralize Hezek Re'iyah here, according to the Manomer Hezek Re'iyah Loshma Hezek in a Chatzer. And at the same time, the Dini Imam, the commitment that's being made is a commitment that translates in terms of chalo, in terms of being significant, like, why are you building this wall? And why is it not just this wall, but, you know, the commitment of a future wall? The answer is, it's a commitment to a more, a more exacting standard of tznius. Even though the mechayev is not tznius, the mechayev is the commitment. But it's still a category. It's still translates into that. Okay.
Well, why in a mechitz on the show? Why isn't it Dalet Amos?
That's a great question. I'm not going to get to that right now, but this is the question. I mean, obviously, a lot of the poskim dealt with that. Do you need a havdalah? Is it a heker to show that the people are sitting in different places? Or is it, is it about tznius in the sense of looking? That's part of the core question of why you need a mechitza and a shul. Right? The pashtus is maybe you need both, but the first issue really is the din of separation, not the din of neutralizing riyah.
And Tosas's approach and Rashi's approach, Tosas doesn't say Perusha Kuntris and then he rejects it.
Right.
I don't think it's a rejection altogether. I think Tosas is saying that the basic consideration here is news.
Right.
But it's only put into effect here because they made an initial agreement to build.
No. But Tosas isn't emphasizing the agreement. The difference is that Tosas is not emphasizing the agreement.
Yeah, but he's not rejecting Rashi either. He doesn't say.
I think he is. I think implicitly he's rejecting Rashi. By the way, if you look at the Rishonim, it's clear that the Rishonim understood that Rashi and Tosas are different. And I think the reason is because Tosis isn't emphasizing the commitment. Tosis is emphasizing the effect of having a walled play, of the fact that they are separate is that people become misragel, right, bitzniusa. And that's like a de facto, which I think is a chiddush, then that changes the, you know, the nature of the mako. I don't think it's so obvious. But they really are talking. I was trying to show that there's a lot of overlap. But in the end of the day, there's still a huge difference in emphasis. I mean, in Rashi, it's the initial commitment and that continues. And in Tosis, it's not the commitment. It's the result of the presence of a wall. Because it's a wall, people do dvarim tsnuim behind the wall. And therefore, that regilus has a certain effect. So I do think that they argue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. One other question. What sure. happens? Why does the Gemara discount the agreement of the parties to build a larger wall? In other words, they had an agreement to build a six-level
right, so I think that's what I'm trying to say. I think that's what's so interesting.
So that enforces your point.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
they have, but isn't that troublesome? That we?
I don't think it's troublesome. Words, I think that's why I was trying to say before, like if you build a six Amos wall, so what you really built is a four-plus Amos wall. There's no chalos, and that's what Rebbe Gershon, I think, is saying, too. There's no legal category of a six Amos wall. It happens to be the amount, it happens to be the size that you built. But, you know, really, the legal category is four Amos. So you built a four Amos. That's the idea.
But like disregarding what the people agreed to.
It's yeah, like but saying, not real. I guess if they had explicated it fully, you know, then you know, that I'm sure we wouldn't defy their original mm-hmm. commitment. But I think the idea is that legally, however the wall came out, mm-hmm. you know, the interpretation is that they, you know, that they agreed, you know, to an unrequired, you know, but chalos, you know, privacy addition. Mm-hmm. And that always means four Amos plus. If they had explicated, I think you'd be right.
Uh-huh. Okay. Rosenzweig.
Yeah.
Once you
no,
say
we're getting all the lawyers here. I see I've touched a chord here.
once you say that the Machayev is Mammon, you've virtually said that it's not a core value that's at stake. That Sneas is.
No, remember, this is according to the Mandamar Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek. This is according to the Mandamar. The Gemara is saying like this. How could you say Hezek Re'iyah Lo Shma Hezek? Which means that it isn't a requirement. How could you say that? If the wall falls down, you have to rebuild it. So the Gemara says, no, that's because it fell down and you initially chose to build it. Nafal shiny. But that's according to the Manamar Hezekiah Lo Shma Hezek. In the end of the day, we pass in Hezekiah Shma Hezek, and that's why it becomes a core value. That's what the Rajba was saying. The Rajba was saying, if Hezek Re'eloshma Hezek, then maybe even Gina is worse than Chatzer. But once you say Hezek Re'eloshma Hezek and a Chatzer, then it's Gedara and Shal Yisrael.
I'm at the end of the shiur.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm going to have to stop. Okay. So next time I want to pick up with the next case. What is the next case? The next case is the Beis Shear, correct. Okay. So then we'll be able to finish with this next time. Rhyme just so we'll pick up next time. Kofinus oso livnos beis shar bedelet lechatzer. Okay, that's a really interesting case. And then we'll talk about, like, you know, taxing people according to the benefits, you know, that they gain out of a, let's say somebody, this is like, I'll just tell you the question to think about. Let's say, you have unequal economic stake in a chatzer. Okay, let's say 2/3 of the chatzar belongs to Reuven and 1/3 of the chatzar belongs to Shimon. Right? Are they still obligated to go 50-50 for the wall? Or does it go according to their benefit as, you know, stakeholders? That's a very interesting question. That's a discussion of the Ramah. And Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Ramah. It's only the Rishon, as far as I know, brings it up. And the Rashash, many, many, many centuries later, said, I don't think that's right. So we'll see how that fits in. I think that's a really important question. Okay, so we'll pick up with this and then we'll move on to Gimel Amud Aleph.